Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ring, 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 ring. May I please speak with Zoe?
Oh, hello, Lamorne. Let's patch in Hannah.
God, I forgot what it was like working with you guys.
Welcome to our show.
Hey guys, fans out there, I was tardy today. I was tardy.
It's okay, Lamar.
And I'm emotional about it.
You had a really good, I think you had a pretty darn good excuse.
That's true.
I think so. I think
nobody's mad about it.
Guys, nobody's mad about it. You were doing a charity event?
Yeah, wasn't it really an event? It was just, you know, you go to the Boys and Girls Club with feeding the children and just kind of
I think that's more important than our podcast right now. I think it's totally fine. Did you get some nice smiles and
It was cool. It was today I was with Harry Shum. Harry Shum Jr. Ooh.
I love Harry.
Yeah, and we were so cool. Making smoothies.
Oh, sweet.
Which I'm one of the best at. That's like something that people always say whenever they see me on the street. They always go, hey, you're the smoothie man, smoothie king.
That's what you're known for.
What's your secret? Yeah. What's your secret?
I'm not going to lie to you. You add a little bit more banana than you need.
That's what I think in a lot of smoothie shops. I'm like, you put like 5 bananas in this smoothie. Like I'll order a smoothie and I'm like, I feel like I just drank 5 bananas.
Yeah. Bananas, super fruit. So you gotta make
it
sure.
It is really good. Bananas are delicious.
While you were doing good deeds, it gave me some time while you were tardy for the party. Usually I just sit here with a glass of water and we go through the podcast. Not gonna lie.
Or a glass of wine.
I had a little afternoon delight. I poured myself today.
You are drinking. Is that water?
No, girl. It's a little lemon, lavender, cocktail by, it's called Straight and Narrow. It's a company called Straight and Narrow. I'm not even, I don't, does they don't support our show or brand our show. There is, it's a gin cocktail.
Oh,
good for you. I thought you were joking, but no, you were serious.
Yeah,
I
know.
Like
I'm recording
that.
This up in Canada, and whenever I
and they
to
allow
Canada,
booze in Canada, so
they do allow booze.
Like here,
yeah, these straight and narrows keep me straight and narrow.
Lavender infused, you say?
Lavender and lemon
to keep you
if
calm.
If there's one thing I want my cocktail to taste like, it's flowers.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
Lavender is good for Hannah. If you guys are out, folks at home, if you don't know, Hannah is very aggressive and wild. So the lavender keeps her calm, which we need her to have as much
calm.
Lavender
makes her
as
sleepy.
Yeah. She's notorious.
I'm kidding. I love lavender. It's one of my favorite scents. I've never tasted it, but you know what? I've had a lavender latte, I think.
Yes.
And that's good.
Oh.
That is good.
I'm bringing this back for you. All right, you guys. Very excited about this episode.
Fancy men? Fancy man, part one.
All right. Lamorne, do you want to read this little recap of the first part of Fancy Man so it reminds all of us?
Jess's student is exhibiting some dark thoughts in her art. So she schedules a meeting with the student's parent, who should arrive. But Russell Schiller. Russell doesn't adhere to Jess's experimental teaching styles and insists his daughter work with a tutor instead. Unfortunately for Jess, Russell is the third largest donor in the school district, number one, of course, being me, which means she needs to apologize. Meanwhile, Nick is struggling with his credit score. I threw a joke in there that Nick has the credit score of a homeless ghost, which means he's pretty low. Now, since he weighs more than his credit score, he's unable to secure a new phone. This causes him to have a bit of an identity crisis. Winston, meanwhile, also struggles with his confidence. Shocker. After Schmidt shows off his superior intellect in front of Shelby, they had a trivia night and Schmidt was showing his butt. Winston really wants to make things official with Shelby, but Schmidt's antics make him second guess himself until Shelby reveals that she likes Winston for who he is. Quite honestly, I think it's the mustache. Mm-hmm. It turns out Jess likes Russell. Though it takes Cece to point it out to her. Russell can provide her with a car. That's an important thing. A mechanic. That's also important. And a new phone for Nick. And pretty much more than any man she's ever dated. Even Nick falls in love with Russell. Okay, he's sniffing on his sweater and his
mahogany. That's my favorite weird storyline.
The sniffing best. On the, yeah.
No, just that him in Russell's office being weird.
Says he smells like seeing a man about a horse. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was a good line.
Now, after Russell saves Jess from a Japanese bidet, which I love me a good old fashioned Toto.
I love a Japanese bidet joke.
Love them. Love
There's em. A story, by the way, there's a story behind that storyline that I'll get to when we get to it.
So Jess, after Russell saves her from getting wet by the toilet water, agrees to go out with him. Now love is in the air for all of our loft mates. Now back to our show.
See, that was a good refresher.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty good one.
It was a good refresher. Now
it helps separate the fancy man's. For me.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Who directed this episode?
Peyton Reed.
Peyton Reed. Love Peyton Reed. Mm-hmm. Love Peyton.
Peyton Reed. We love Peyton. What a great guy. He directed a movie I did called Yes Man.
Yep.
And when we started our first season of the show, I sent him a little text and said, hey, I'm doing a TV show. Would you be up for directing an episode or two?
That's awesome.
And he came in yeah. Him and then Jesse Peretz and Miguel Arteta. A number of people that were my friends who were directors, I roped in.
Peyton had a party at his house once. And was it a Christmas party or something? I forget what it was.
Probably.
But yeah. He reminded me of Fancy Man.
You know what's so funny? This is, I was literally going to tell the same story of Peyton had a Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And I remember going and I felt a little intimidated and overwhelmed. And I was like, you know what? It's fine. Just, you know, try to blend in. And I remember Al Yankovic.
Yeah, he's friends with Peyton.
Which I didn't know. Again, this is like kind of my first like industry party to go to. And he was sitting on a couch by himself. And I just remember being like, wow, I'm Weird Al. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, that is my comfort zone at a party, too. To find a couch, sit down, kind of keep to myself. And I've never been starstruck slash related to another human being in their party mode more. That's what I remember of Peyton Reed's Christmas party.
I met Weird Al at and his lovely family at Peyton's house at a party. And he sent me a Christmas card via email every year since. So,
no way.
What a nice guy.
Very nice, nice etiquette.
I met Weird Al at church and he never sent me a Christmas card.
Well, that's weird.
Met him
okay,
at church.
Well.
Okay. Okay, this episode. That's episode. All right. We love you. We love you, Al.
We love you, Weird Al.
We love you, Weird Al, whether you were at church or a Christmas party.
Right off the bat, guys, I do want to say this. Randall Park is in this episode.
I know. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was ever on our show.
Randall Park is in that opening moment.
In the cell phone store.
In the cell phone store. As soon as I saw that, I went, what? Oh, yeah. My goodness.
With a hairdo that says some things.
That says
like
some
I
things.
Almost didn't recognize him.
I know.
And I did not recognize him. You just said that. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You were the one in the scene.
Yeah.
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 I want to take the credit for, I want to be the first one to say that New Girl is responsible for Randall Park's career.
Launching his career.
You're welcome, Randall.
With his two lines. Yeah, really it was a wild scene. Moment. I thought too. I was like, there's no way. I actually Googled it because I'm like, there's just no way that's someone who just looks like Randall Park.
Exactly.
But it was him gracing was. Our show with his incredible talent. So that's a great way to start say off our Fancy
casting,
Man.
Shout out to our casting department on our show who did such an incredible job. We had the best cast. I mean, we had such incredible guest actors coming in every single week. And like, every time I watch it, I'm like, I'm reminded of who was on our show. And I'm like, how did we get all these people? Yeah. It was pretty incredible.
We got in this episode, we get Randall Park, we get Callie Hawk, we got Dermot Mulroney.
Yes.
Dermot Mulroney. Dermot. So let's dive in. Dermot Mulroney. Yeah. Plays Russell, Fancy Man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how did this story, did this storyline come about in any particular way, or is this just, you know, another way to try to weave into the will they, won't they with Nick and Jess? Because we
guys,
bring in
also,
this man.
We had Rachel Harris, by
Rachel,
the way.
She
was in that episode, but she was recurring, so she was in multiple episodes, but Rachel Harris is so, so funny.
Oh, yes.
Playing my boss.
Yes, absolutely. And if I'm forgetting anybody, I'll go back and I'll
well, there are just too many card. Great ones. That's what's know.
I feel like this is the first time we see Jess with like now a boyfriend that we're going to have around, you know, for a real storyline.
Yeah.
100%.
Do you remember how you felt, Zoe, when you found out like, this is it? Okay, we're in the show now and this is your love interest for the season.
I was like, yeah, because Dermot, I had met like, he probably doesn't remember this, but I had met him at like a play reading maybe, you know, a number of years before. And he was like so incredibly nice. And he was like, oh, because I'm a musician. He's a musician. He's like a really good cello player.
What?
He like plays on sessions and stuff. No, he's a session cello player. Like you have to be so good to be a session player. And he was like, yeah, if you ever need a cello player, here's my information. Like, he is so nice. And I remember being like, what a nice guy. And then when they said he was going to, that's who they wanted, I was like, absolutely. He is such a nice guy and would be a fun person to work with.
Did he play the cello at all in any of these episodes? I forget.
No.
I think he might have at some point.
Really? I remember Megan Rath at the like later seasons, she had to pretend to play a cello.
Right. Mm. I remember that. But for some reason, I thought he did in like later seasons. Maybe like he came back for a few episodes at the very end.
I mean, if they didn't have him use that skill, what a waste.
What a waste.
I mean, really, what a waste. Yeah.
Because I have so many skills. In New Girl, to me, over the 7 seasons, wasted a lot of them because they never used
them. Tell me which ones are those.
I'm a horse whisperer. A horse whisperer.
You're a horse whisperer?
Yeah. I like to whisper in the horse's ears. They never let me do it. Not once.
They don't like it, but I do it.
Yeah, I'll do it. You know what I mean? like a professional.
What else?
I can juggle chainsaws.
Oh my God. Well, I would love to see that. I'm surprised they didn't take advantage of that one. Yeah.
But I'm not good at it.
Okay. Then I don't.
Yeah. Then please don't.
Then we don't want you to.
Please don't try to.
I'm still working on
it. At least not on our watch, you know?
Yeah. I won't do it on the podcast, but I'll, you know what I mean? Like if we ever, you know, gear up for another rerun of New Girl, I'll do it then.
Okay. And then what else, Lamorne? Tell us.
Honestly, if you just look up, look left, look right, I'm behind you. I can appear anywhere.
Oh my God.
So you're a stalker.
There you are.
Yeah. Some people call it stalking. That's what the police said. That's what my lawyer said. I call it appearing.
I mean, honestly, I'd be delighted if either one of you appeared in my midst at any point. Delighted. Yes.
I don't look up, don't look left, don't look right, because I'll be
there. He is.
There we go.
Lamorne.
Wasn't that the term that they had in season five? What calling like being the doing the Biden, just Biden him, just be.
Oh yeah, was it
just
be there?
Be there. Joe Biden, just be there.
Just be there.
That's what you were doing, the Biden.
That's what's happening now.
You're Bidening.
Bidening.
Okay, so we're talking about the show. Remember?
Talking about the show. Okay, so Nick is also enamored with Russell because he's the opposite. He's the opposite. He's kind of the person that Nick wants to be, but he. Mm-hmm. We start off by talking about how bad his credit score is. Like that's as basic as it gets. He has a very very terrible. It's a 250. Right. And so it's a 250. And so everyone is shocked by this. Do you think Russell's, stature in life was intentional by writers? Like, let's make this someone who's directly opposite from Nick. But do you think it was specifically for that reason of getting them together at that point?
Sure.
Or was it just like funny?
I think it's like to show how it can't work if it's all the things that Nick isn't, you know? It seems like the perfect package. How could you say no? Even Nick can't say no.
Well, what's cool about the two episodes back to back and having just watched both of them is that the first one, it's like Nick is the opposite, a fancy man. And then the second one offers Nick a chance to step into another type of fancy man status as he woos like a college student,
right?
So it's kind of, there's definitely a progression of Nick throughout these fancy men episodes. Oh,
yeah, he gets a taste of what it's like to be admired for what it is he's doing, which
that's
is
right.
He's a bartender, you know, which is great. He can make cool drinks.
Would you guys be happier? So Nick doesn't have a phone this episode and he makes it like his identity. Do you guys think that you could survive for a while without a phone? Would you be happier without your phone?
No, I couldn't survive without a phone. I don't think so. I used to think that I was the guy who could, but there's so much more responsibility now. If I was in one location with my kid, then I feel like everyone else can handle themselves and I wouldn't need to have a phone necessarily. But because
I want my phone for emergencies, but I do think there's like a major amount of time suck that happens with certain things, like Instagram.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy very much. I had to put a limit on myself, like, because otherwise I just like mindlessly
doom scroll,
you know. Yeah, just scrolling. Memes, cat memes, you guys. Cat memes are
my favorite. Instagram gives you the report of how many hours you spend that week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did the math. They gave me a report. It said that I spend 390 hours a week. I didn't know it was that many hours. And Instagram was
bro. Guys, in our notes it says talk about working with Randall Park, Zoe. I'm like, didn't realize I was working with him. But I will say, okay, that I do like remember him separately as the actor that I worked with on that day versus the man he is today. Okay. Yes. And I remember him being very nice and very funny and very professional.
Nice. What if he weren't? That'd be so funny if he was like,
he's the loveliest.
That would be. But you know what? I don't remember like really ever having anybody that was like, do you remember having anybody that was like a big problem? I think maybe we'll have to like go through and like, you know, I don't know if I'd necessarily call them out, but I might mention them, but I don't think, because I don't want to like ruin anyone's careers, but I can't remember any time that we had somebody on the show where I was like, what a dud.
No. Here's the thing that bumped me at the Fancy Man barbecue that Jess goes to, okay? This is a very like high to do party. It's catered. It's fancy. Mm-hmm. It's Fancy Man's.
I aspire to that kind of party. Like, have fun.
It was all put together. It was gorgeous. It was incredible.
So grown
up. But he's then like, she finds him like working the grill. And I was like, come on. There's no way if he's like supposed to like work through him and talk to people and he has it fully catered, he's the one turning sausages at the barbecue. He might,
you know what though? Sometimes there, I've gone to people's houses who are kind of fancy and they have a caterer and all that stuff. And then they want to make the thing that they're good at making.
Elon Musk.
And a lot of guys are kind of territorial about
the grill.
The barbecue. The
he
grill.
He just doesn't seem like the guy that would be like, I'm the grill master.
Maybe they're trying to surprise you because I do think it was weird that he took such a turn from he's such a dick in that first,
right.
In that first scene when he walks in, he's like, I know what's best for my daughter, Miss Day.
Yeah.
Like, remember how he was in the first scene? I was like, this guy's a jerk.
I would be that
and
way,
then,
too.
And then, all of a sudden, he's, like, totally nice and seems to respect.
I do think they were trying to give him a down-to-earth moment. And that was the down-to-earth moment. Like, oh, I'm just here cooking the food.
Look,
and
he's turning his
chilling.
Own sausages.
Yeah, turning his own sausages.
Giving out cell
party.
Phones, giving out sweaters.
That was the part too that was a little nuts. I'm like, this man, it just keeps handing like things out in a real bizarre. I've never seen anybody just do that. That
you've never
you
been
barely
to my house,
know.
Though. No, that just goes to show you've never been to my house.
You are actually oddly generous. Like you are a very over generous.
You are
person.
Extremely I will attest to that. I remember being like Morn is like so nice.
Yeah, hold on to those watches. What are you doing?
You're just, now you like give away Rolex every
you
year.
Do.
Every
will
year.
Never forget when we booked New Girl, you had a friend who's just a friend. And you're like, oh, she helped me like, you know, read lines and get the show. And you gave her a pair of Louboutins.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember that story. And I was like, you need to slow down. I was like,
do
you can send a thank you card.
Pick out presents for people. That's a really good present.
If you hate money, Zoe, have Lamorne come with you.
You know what I thought was so sweet, Lamorne, was when I had my first baby, Elsie. You got me a baby food maker, which was the sweetest present.
That too.
I was like, this is so sweet. And I'm like, I need this. This is so awesome. What a good gift.
Yeah, you're a bit of a fancy man. And speaking of which, we started this whole podcast that you were out there turning sausages this morning. I mean, maybe you
were
fancy
he was
man.
Turning bananas is what he was doing.
I was turning bananas.
In a big old blender.
So here's the big question that I wanted to ask you guys, because Jess has a tell, right? Mm-hmm. If she has a crush on someone that she goes into this like weird, funny British accent. Or she does the Kermit the Frog voice. I think Cece's like, please tell me.
I think she does lots of weird voices.
Yeah, she gets into like these voices. Do you have a tell when you like somebody?
Well, I only like one person. His name is Jonathan Scott. Well, he's from Canada.
But did you have a tell?
Did I just like do a voice?
There you go. You just did a voice. Why did you talk like that?
I'm just kidding.
I only like one little man.
No, I mean, I'm just kidding with the voice. I don't know. Like when you first like somebody, I don't know. I can't think of anything other than, you know, I feel like all the normal stuff, like, you know, texting people. Hmm. But I text my friends too. It doesn't mean I like them like that, you know?
There's no like weird tell that just it's like a dead giveaway.
I don't think so. Like a twitch.
Like a twitch.
I do.
You do? What's your thing?
I do. Mine is post-coital, you know? Oh. That's when I know.
You really like somebody. I was going to say, that's the giveaway.
I hope you like them at that point.
Yeah, that's when I know. That's when I know. If we engage in grown-up stuff, then I'm like, yeah.
That's not a tell.
Otherwise, I don't think I have a specific tell. I think it's, it's hard to date these days. So I think you go out multiple times. I think if you're continuously, as on my side of the coin, if I reach out multiple times to continue after the first date, that's my tell. That's what it is. Because a lot of times, I will be honest.
You're ghosty.
It's one date and then,
Adios, mm-hmm. Felicia.
Yeah. If my everyday life takes precedent over me hanging out with you again, then that's telling me. That's my tell for myself. I go, I have to get this other stuff done. But there are times where I go, I put everyday life on the back burner to see that person again. And then that would be my tell.
My thing is that I look like I'm just like about to start laughing all the time because mm-hmm. there's like a voice in my head the whole time. I'm trying to listen to you and talk to you, but I know that you're going to be trouble for me. Mm-hmm. And so there's like a voice in my head the whole time going like, this guy's like really hot and you really like him. And what do you even say?
Oh, you're talking so quietly.
But that's what's happening. Like in my brain, this little voice is saying it. And then I'm like laughing and I cannot hear a word that they're saying.
Do you still do that with Jesse?
Yes. Isn't that terrible? He's the worst. He's still got it.
I mean, it's very cute. You guys.
It is. But that's a scary one to do, Hannah. I know we're off topic a little bit. That's a scary one to do because when you're not listening and you're just giggling at what that person looks like, they're probably telling you very important information. Like, I'm a serial killer. I watch you while you sleep. I'll wear your underwear. You avoid that person. But you wouldn't know because you're not listening.
Yeah, hopefully my instincts of who I'm spending time with has gotten me past the super creepy people.
Yeah,
so that's
nice. Good now. Guys, speaking of creepy people who will wear your underwear while you sleep, we're going to go to break. I don't know why that. Yeah, bad transition, but we'll be back.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials.
cover-up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
And we're back. Hello, everybody.
So good
to be back.
Can we talk about like bar trivia dates? Like a good like pub quiz? Would that be like...
I think it's tough because you're like, those things can get so competitive. It's like if you were going to go play basketball with somebody on your first date. A little bit much.
I would love that as a first date.
Trivia or basketball?
Not basketball.
Mm-hmm. By the way, my first date with Jonathan was an escape room.
Really?
Ooh, see, that sounds fun.
It's the best, but like I didn't know how to play. I didn't know like how you were supposed to do it. Like it's kind of there's a learning curve. Mm. And I was like, what is happening? And he was there, and then we went to dinner, and then his brother and sister-in-law met us, and they were like all doing stuff. Like they knew exactly what to do. And I was just standing there like, what is happening?
Wait, on your first date, you met the whole family?
I'd already met.
Because then he liked you bad. Like, if he was like, here's everybody.
They were supposed to come to dinner with us. And then when he was like, not sure if it was a date or not, he was like, so who's coming tonight? And I was like, just me. And he was like, okay. And then he canceled everybody.
He's like, get away.
But I say trivia nights are great, though, for a first date. I mean, because they sometimes do work out. I'm not sure if you guys seen the hit classic movie Game Night.
this is just, guys, rent the movie. What do you call it? You don't game rent night. It. You stream it.
Stream the movie, Game Night.
Sorry, I'm old. Game stream the movie Game Night starring Lamorne. Morris, and also Rachel McAdams.
That's right. Jason Bateman, Billy Magnuson,
Jason Bateman,
Kylie Bundbury, Jesse Plemons. I mean, the cast is fantastic.
I mean, it's an incredible cast. I love all these actors.
Do you remember shooting these bar trivia scenes?
Well, we did our trivia scenes in someone's home, but the movie opens up with Jason and Rachel going
in this episode. Not the movie.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about
plugging
night.
Your movie career.
So Game Night, no. So in this one, you know what's interesting? While I was watching it, there every once in a while this will happen when I do the rewatch. I don't remember being there.
Get out.
I don't remember. When I was watching it, it was like I was watching it for the first time. And I just thought, man, I don't remember shooting this scene. And I don't know what it is about it. Maybe because internally, I truly would feel some sort of way if Schmidt was behaving that way. If I liked a girl and Schmidt was just, you know,
showing you
out. Oh, showing me out. It would be so annoying. It's so annoying to do that.
100%. So that's, I probably blocked it out of my memory. You know, so it was gone that moment. But
you were method acting.
I'm Daniel Day-Lewis is what they say. When they see me on the street, they always go, man, is that a young
D2L? Daniel Day-Lamorne?
Yeah. And I go, yeah. The Smoothie King? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's me. Isn't there a smoothie place called Smoothie King?
I think so. They
is that your joint?
I don't know, but I could be the spokesperson for Smoothie King.
Guys, opportunity right here.
Guys, you're hearing it here first. But I think a trivia night, a bar trivia night, because you can tell a lot by a person's personality. You can tell a lot of their personality due to how competitive they may be, how passive that's they true. May be, how smart they may be with useless information, you know.
Yeah.
100%.
I think, it would be fun. I mean, I love a game night.
I guess what you're saying, there's a flip of it. It would be very telling if you're doing that as a date and the other person is actually concerned about winning or losing. That, to me, all of a sudden becomes a bummer of a date.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're there just to have fun and who cares if you get one answer right and you're just enjoying the show of everybody else having high stakes on it, that's a fun night to me. Oh, but if you actually care, like, I'm out. Bye.
Yeah.
That's why you guys ever played that game Balderdash?
I've heard of it.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
It's where they have like categories. It's like movie, book, laws, like a number of things. And they'll give you a title of a movie, say, or a book. And then you have to write the like synopsis. And then you write down, like, the person who's like the center of the game writes down like the real thing, and then everybody turns in their like fake answers, and then you read them all together. You get points if people pick your fake answer, and you get points if you pick the real one. But that one's really fun because I a lot of times play just to make people laugh. Like, I just say like stupid stuff to make people laugh, like not caring whether I get points or not. And I like that one because you can kind of play for laughs or like play for real, and everybody's welcome.
They have another game that's essentially that game called Quidditch or Fibbitch. Fibbitch. You play Fibbitch on through Jackbox TV or something like that. And it's cool because everyone has their own phones and you could write down the wrong answers.
Oh, yeah. We did this during quarantine a lot.
So that's the same. I never knew that.
Never want to play an online. I never want to have an online party again, though.
No. Goodbye.
Like, don't you feel like, I feel like I'm like, we did that just like to scratch the itch of being around people, but I'm like, I don't want to have a Zoom party again. No,
not at all.
But I did like doing that. I did like playing that game, and that was very fun. So thanks for the memories, Fibbitch.
Speaking of memories, one of the most memorable parts of this episode is you in a real, like, almost karate fight with the bidet, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I'm like, that looked like a violent assault that toilet was doing to you.
Okay, so here's what happened, and this is true story.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. All right, remember when we had the first season, which this was, we had a big, giant dinner with the heads of the studio and the network. Like, it was like Dana Walden, who basically runs Hollywood now. She's like a super, super... smart, powerful executive. We had like Kevin Riley. We had Gary Newman. We had Peter Chernin.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Riley ran the network. Gary Newman also was running the studio with Dana. And then we had Peter Chernin, who was one of our exec producers. It was a big wig dinner. Okay. Like, these are like very, very like high up people. Okay. At Fox. And they had a big dinner to celebrate our, wonderful, show success, which was so exciting. And Liz was sitting next to me. And I think Peter Chernin was like on the other side of me. I think Gary was sitting close by too. And I got up to use the restroom. I walk in the restroom, and there's this, like, toilet, right? And it has like a, there's like a bunch of buttons on this. Like, I have no idea. Like, I'm like, and it's closed. And I'm like, well, how do I open it? So I press some buttons. The toilet like opens and starts like squirting me with water.
What?
I get my entire, yeah, I pressed the wrong button. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
I got sprayed on my dress with toilet water. And when I went back to my seat, I was like, Liz, Liz. And she's like, what? I'm like, a Japanese toilet just like assaulted me in the bathroom. She's like, what? I'm like, my skirt is all wet because a Japanese toilet like went crazy and started squirting me. Anyway, Liz thought this was hilarious and put it in the
oh, wow.
The episode, and which, because it was like we were with these very, very
fancy people,
powerful people, right? And so that's the story. And we were at a place in, do you remember the restaurant we were at? It was in, it was like a steakhouse in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Called,
I wasn't invited.
It was like you in were a private, there. It was in a private room.
Yeah, we had a big square table.
Yeah.
Let's see. It, like okay, wait, hang on. It's still there. Hang on. Mastro's?
Was it a Mastro's?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm. That's interesting. I didn't get that invite.
No, you were there.
You were there.
No, I was eating a bologna sandwich.
You were there.
100%.
So that was pulled from a real experience, because I also remember there's this scene where you and I are talking and I'm giving you advice about, you know, taking a chance and dating like a man instead of a boy, and you're holding your bunny phone case. And wasn't that your real phone case?
No.
It wasn't? I thought there was like a phone case or something of yours that you, I don't know, that they had stolen from your real life and put in the show.
I don't remember what, look, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It might have been my real phone case. I'm not sure. I think, but here's actually, I think what happened, that it was in the show and that I liked it and ordered one. I was like, I love this phone case. This is so cute.
I just remember having a conversation with you and I thought it was about that phone case, which is like they're starting to kind of like mine our real experiences.
They definitely.
And things like, that we like.
What's funny is like there's stuff that's not like Jess about me, and then there's a lot of stuff. Then there's stuff that's totally, you know, like Jess. So, but that is something I would 100% rock without regrets. I'd be proud of my bunny phone case.
You know, it's funny too, when I watch that episode and Nick goes into Russell's office, there's some like black and white framed art of like, I don't know, like the savannah in Africa somewhere, with like an elephant on it. You see it in the background. And in the final season of New Girl, that exact art is hanging in Nick's office, in his room, in his office. And so when New Girl ended, I actually bought my first home, and I'd always lived in an apartment, and I bought this home and I was like, I didn't have enough stuff to even begin to fill a home. And I remember Michael Whetstone was sort of like, help yourself to anything to use that you really like. And then stuff can be placeholders until you find the things that you really want, or if you like it, just keep it.
Yeah.
And that black and white, because I've traveled there and spent time there and whatever, I was like, I love this. And so that actually is in my house now.
Oh my God.
From you know fancy what? Man's office to my house.
That's yes. So funny. I have the watermelon and the like botanical print from my room that are up in my house.
I don't think I have any. No, I do have artwork from the, I'm not gonna lie, I took a lot of stuff.
I think we all kind of really did a lot of shopping.
I only asked for three things.
Yeah.
I should have asked for more, but.
I took Ferguson's tombstone. I took the space.
You did not. Did you really?
Happening. Yeah, I have that. The space orgy that happened. I took that painting. I have the basketball hoop from the loft.
You took a cat's tombstone?
I keep it in my front yard so when people come, they go, oh my God, you buried someone here? And go,
it's like pet cemetery.
Yeah. But yeah, they don't know it's a cat though. They think it's a person. It's
terrible.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
with zero qualifications,
she had a Harvard plaque,
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to our show.
Well, guys, where's the bear?
Where's the bear?
Hannah, have you figured it out this episode?
Okay, so I will say, besides the bear on the refrigerator in Fancy Man Part 1, I don't find any other bear references. But I'm going to say this because it happened a couple of weeks ago when we did our injured episode. I was like, I couldn't find any bears. And then people were commenting in on my Instagram post about there was a bear and I had missed it. And I realized this is what needs to happen now on this podcast. Okay. As we go through this season and we're going to start taping these upcoming episodes, message me if you find the bear and then I will read that aloud and share it here on the show. Help me. I need this to be a team effort from our listeners. So after Fancy Man Part 1, we're going to do Part 2. So after that, going on from that, if you see bears, let me know and help me out because I'm a believer in the bear in every episode.
Yes, please, please let us know.
And right now, I'm not doing the best job as the lone man on campus hunting bears.
You're not. I knew all the bears were. I just don't say it. This is your segment, so I don't say anything.
This end of this episode, I will say, is one of the funniest tags I feel like we did in the entire series, where Jake is pretending to be like a CEO or president of Planet Earth behind the desk.
Oh, yeah, that's very funny.
And just... It's
also,
so
can we mention that
funny.
I had to fall into a pond, a koi pond, at like 3 a.m? Mm.
Did you really do that?
Yeah.
Did you get do your own, out. So you do your own stunts? You and Tom Cruise?
I don't. I have an amazing stunt double, but I fell into the pool. I had to like, I can't remember whether she did the falling and then I had to do the getting up, or whether I think I might have just done the falling there. Because I do remember that I had to be in the pool, but I'm not sure. So I'm not sure, but I do remember having to go in the pool at pool. I call it a pool. It was a koi pond.
It was a koi pond.
I mean, it's a lot of water work you had to do in this episode. Toilet water, pond water.
Toilet water, pond water. It was clean.
A lot of water sports.
A lot of water sports.
I had to fall in the koi pond. but yes, Jake and the CEO of the company was so funny.
I forgot about it. And then he just kept going and going. And I was like this, I was just crying. I was like, this is so funny. I was like, this is the whole thing. His love for him is so genuine. And I love that that's like the twist, because you think it's going to go into the formula, right? Of him like not liking him because he secretly has a crush on Jess. But the fact that he can't resist him, it just, I don't know, it caught me by surprise again in the rewatch, and I absolutely loved it. Died laughing. Love this episode.
Okay, we're going to do a little True American to end this episode. True American. Welcome to True American, where the rules change weekly and you leave more confused than when you showed up. This week, we're playing Sean Connery's Rich Tough Guy quotes. Are we listening to them, Joelle, or are we?
Sorry, no. If you guys could do dramatic readings, and then I'll drop in the chat if you guys guess who said them.
I don't do a good Sean Connery.
They're not all Sean Connery.
Oh, they're not all Sean.
I think however you read them will be a lot of fun.
Okay. All right, Lamorne, you go first.
You really don't remember, do you? We didn't pick you. You picked us. You volunteered right here, even after you were warned.
I don't know whose voice I'm doing because they're not all Sean Connery. Let me see. Why did you pick me? You don't remember, do you? We didn't pick you. You picked us. You volunteered right here, even after you were warned. It sounds like
the Matrix. I have zero clue. Like, I don't even have a stab in the dark.
Yeah, none of these are movies I would probably
sounds like
know
the
well
Matrix, but it's not the Matrix.
I'm
going to go ahead and say this is the Bourne Ultimatum, or the Jason Bourne series.
I'm going to say Star Wars.
Star Wars?
I just don't know, so I'm picking Star Wars.
It's the Bourne. It's the Bourne Ultimatum. I think that's
Is it really?
Joelle?
Yeah, sorry, I was dropping the answers in the chat.
Yeah, that's how I
oh,
knew.
Oh, I didn't see. Oh, okay. I can't.
Lamorne, you cheated.
Look at,
well, so nobody knew.
Chat.
0 points.
Okay.
Minus one for Lamorne for cheating.
I'm sorry. Okay. She put it right there for everybody to see.
All right. The next one. Okay. My dear girl, there are some things that just aren't done, such as drinking Dom Perignon. 53 above the temperatures of 38 degrees Fahrenheit. That's just as bad as listening to the Beatles without earmuffs.
The Beatles?
The Beatles.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. In, so in Hard, in Help, the Beatles movie, the bad guys keep calling the Beatles the Beatles. So the Beatles. That's why I did that. It was a little reference. I have no idea what, this sounds like a James Bond quote.
It sounds like a James Bond
this
movie.
This feels very James Bondy.
I think it's the Pink Panther.
My guess, Star Wars.
It is James Bond. It's Goldfinger.
Goldfinger. I don't know any of the Bonds. Mm-hmm. Apart from any other Bonds. Well, nobody's the Bond.
It's gotta be a, I mean, it feels like it has to be a Bond, like it's the way Bond talks. And then it's
my dear girl.
53, like who's drinking wine from 1953? That's very
old. Very old champagne.
Yeah, sorry, not wine. Champagne. Yes, champagne. Mm-hmm. All right, Hannah, do you
what
want to do?
I can't even. Okay. If you're dealing with a man who was crushed, shot, stabbed, and detonated 5 members of his own IMF team, how devastated do you think you're going to make him by hauling Mom and Uncle Donald down to the county courthouse?
Ooh.
Mm.
I don't...
I'm gonna
is that
say,
like a...
County courthouse?
Matthew McConaughey or something?
Oh, I don't know. IMF team is a very important team.
It's like a war movie because there's detonations.
I'm going to go with The Hunt for Red October.
I'm going with Star Wars.
You know Star Wars?
I'm it's a go, spy oh. movie. It's Mission Impossible.
Oh.
Whoa. Impossible? That was impossible for me
it was
to
was impossible.
Guess.
Are these like known
this
quotes?
Is all Mission Impossible, this game right
this
now.
This game. I think we
if
missed
If you are
everyone.
Playing along at home and you've even gotten one, bravo to you. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Morny, you want to take D?
The '70s and the '80s? You're not missing anything, believe me. I've looked into it. There's a gas shortage and a flock of seagulls. That's about it.
Ooh.
Is this Back to the no,
I was gonna say Back to the Future.
Movie. But no, I think this is
it's not a spy movie.
It's not a spy movie. I'm gonna go ahead and say
Tough Guy.
Austin Powers.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Boom.
Whoa!
Was it?
Yeah,
okay, we got one right.
I got one. Boom.
Wow.
So this would be Shagwell.
I love it. Yeah,
I'm impressed.
That was not going to be my...
That was tough. We don't know a lot of rich tough hard. Guys. That's all we've just learned.
I like how good anything, we were at sad songs.
Sad songs? We knew them all.
Yeah, we were really
rich tough guys.
Like
don't know you. Don't know those men. Bye.
All right. Thank you, guys. Like and subscribe.
Please.
Give us 5 stars.
Please.
If you love us.
Please.
All right. See you next week where we continue this talk of the fancy men, the one and the two.
And help me with Where's the Bear?
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to Welcome to Our Show, a New Girl recap podcast. Welcome to Our Show is a production of iHeartRadio, hosted by Zooey Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, and Hannah Simone. Our executive producer is Joelle Monique. Our engineer and editor is Daniel Goodman. The Welcome to Our Show theme song was written by Zooey Deschanel, performed and produced by Zooey Deschanel and Pierre DeReeder. Follow us on Instagram at Welcome to Our Show Pod. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, you can email us at Welcome to Our Show Podcast at gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share far and wide. Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce.
Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.